Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh boy, it's September, which means back to school. 15 years after graduating, and it still stresses me out. Luckily for some of us, it's time to go back to the beach. Now, South Florida has some top beaches, and Hilton has some of the most amazing places to stay. The Diplomat Resort and Spa in Hollywood. It's a historic property that is perfect for the LGBT weekender. It's time to book your staycation with Hilton. Hilton is a place where you know you can come and be yourself in the heart of all the action and close to some of the best beaches. Hilton's got the Conrad Miami to the Diplomat Resort and the Vintro Hotel in South Beach. It's all part of the Curio Collection by Hilton. In South Florida and everywhere, Hilton is becoming a welcoming place for all LGBT people. Hilton is a huge sponsor of the LGBT community. In fact, this year, Hilton was presented the sponsor of Capital Pride in Washington, D.C., a gold sponsor of NYC Pride, both with a dope-ass float and over 100 team members marching, and a presenting sponsor of the GLAAD Media Awards at the Waldorf Astoria in New York and the Beverly Hilton in L.A., two very fancy hotels. Look, Hilton loves to be involved in the community whenever possible. It's time to go to the beach, whether you are LGBT or none of those letters. Get out there and enjoy yourself. Check out gooutdothilton.com. It's got LGBT travel ideas, ignite your own memorable moments, discover top gay destinations, and experience the most exciting places to go, including Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Get out there. Gay, straight, whatever you are, go on vacation. Get down to the beach, enjoy yourself, and maybe stay at a Hilton hotel. All right. On to the podcast. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, John Gabris, Johnny G from the streets, the number one fuck boy. He's your boy, the fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, the number one fuck boy, fuck boy. That's F-U-C-C-B-O-I, the number one fuckboy, John Gabris, joined not in the High and Mighty studios, but in the official HeadGum studios, because we needed a very special location for this episode of the podcast, and plus, it's just easier this way sometimes.
Yeah.
Dan Klein and Kelly Hudson.
Hello.
Thanks. Hi. Nice and loud. It got loud in here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome to High and Mighty. It's a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
Dan and Kelly are comedians, comedy writers, actors, all that jazz, and also hosts of their own HeadGum podcast,
yep.
Make Me Like It.
Yes, that is what it's called.
That's the official title. We use a different title, but that's the official one.
If you're looking up, that's the official title.
Yeah.
But if you want to sound cool at parties, we'll tell you what
it is. Yeah. You'll hear us say it.
Yeah, you'll hear us. Catch it.
Yeah, it's like people who call Game of Thrones GOT. You just
right.
know.
You
that
just
person
know.
Is cool.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Goat. I call it goat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one knows what you're talking about.
You caught up on goat?
Yeah.
Is everyone watching goat?
Your favorite part on goat?
What is your favorite part on goat?
Who's your favorite goat character? So, guys, before we get into our topic today, mm-hmm. we're going to do a little chat. We're going to read some 5-star reviews of my podcast. So as always, listeners, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on air.
That's the perfect crime.
You're like a brilliant marketer.
You little bastard.
What are you doing with a podcast? You should be like selling Coca-Cola or something. Yeah. Like, make your own.
I started slinging the white boy crap.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish. I wish I had a way to figure out, A, what my skills were, B, choose a career that uses them, and
right.
C, become successful.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. C is like, a good one.
You seem like you could be like that This American Life about that Budweiser guy, or no, like Corona, or was it some tequila company? There's just a man that's like the tequila man, and he lives on this island that they own.
Oh, fuck.
Sounds like Gabriel so far.
Really, yeah. I can really do that. I'm on board so far.
Yeah.
Call me the tequila man, and I live on an island.
Yes.
Sure my wife would approve of that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we just started saying it, so it doesn't work the same way. Like, you actually have to do it.
Yeah.
Can't I just say I'm the tequila man and I live on an island now?
Well, I got this lower back tattoo.
It's got to go towards something.
Da tequila man.
Tequila.
But this is already, like, brilliant, like, manipulation of other people.
Yes.
Is that you're like, give me the best rating possible and I'll read your, like, little jokes.
Right. And then it's like, people want to spit vitriol at you.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. It's like let me be angry.
That's the blank. That's like the default setting is like,
wow.
I need to say something awful.
Somewhere.
And
it's got to be
hard
sports.
Enough to take it. See, I would be terrified of what kind of shit they could throw at
me. See, that's the thing. I am very thick-skinned, everything.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Well, not actually the good thing.
Yeah,
I'm girthy
very,
everywhere but my genitals.
Yeah, very very skinny, skinny dick.
It's long, like a long balloon
dick.
That hasn't been inflated yet.
Yeah, it, so, my wife calls it the beige Twizzler.
Oh.
I twisted. Yeah, I'm disgusted.
It's horrifying. Strawberry
beige Twizzler.
So, I'm usually pretty tough on these, but lately some people have been really like they've been really mean. It's like
really?
No wonder his father died. Like, you know,
because
I'm too open on the podcast, so people find little things that you're
and they like want to stand out. Yeah, so you've invited this. All right,
yeah.
Well,
it's all my own fault. And sure. I think some of the listeners of High and Mighty are scumbags. Like they're
right.
openly assholes because that's what they see in me. And
yes.
like, I love that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'll show him. And
guy.
I'm like, okay, that
shit.
One really hurt.
Ouch.
Okay, so this is from Dave Shear.
Mm-hmm.
What to say about Gabrus's podcast that hasn't already been beaten into the ground? I guess the one redeeming quality of the podcast is that John is so completely inept at sound engineering, it feels as if the podcast is slowly decreasing in volume with each episode. Hopefully this trend continues to the point where the podcast is completely inaudible.
That's pretty good. And it gives you 5 stars?
Yeah, 5 stars.
That's fantastic.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, because of that, now I have like over 600 5-star ratings.
That's fantastic,
God.
You bastard.
But I have to read some pure hate. So this is from We Get It. Oh, no, it's from Kuathor1. Look, guys, we get it. You can misspell his name. He likes to eat. He's from Long Island. Just say no to Gabrus's cries for attention, and we can get on with the show. So this is someone who doesn't like the openings, who doesn't like this. But then maybe the podcast would only be 10 minutes long.
Wow, that's pretty good.
This is someone who doesn't. I heard Anthony King, a mutual friend, on...
Mm-hmm.
On his podcast, reference that he skips this part of my podcast.
Oh.
Wow.
Like skipping Marin's open intro to get to the interview.
A lot of people skip it. I deal with it. I like to deal with the pain and kind of annoying parts of a person.
Yeah.
I used to. I used to love how thorough that felt. And now I just, with Marin especially, I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't really skip much on any podcast except for when I listen to WTF, I get to. And I cherry pick the guests now at that point anyway.
Exactly.
So I'm not even like.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm already not listening to everything. I don't think I need to catch up with what happened at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. This is from John Sadler. The title is He Means Well. John Garbage is a man who seemingly takes pride in his overweight body and terrible habits. He mainly reminisces of his glory days, which are barely commendable to avoid talking about his dadless lack of future and his alcoholism and sad life. 3 thumbs up, 5 stars.
Oh.
it's as sad as it is, it always ends nice. You get 5 stars out of it, so it's like, who cares?
So some patterns have developed is that people always end on a positive and they never say my name or spell my name right. Often people
people just write John Gemberling. Like, that's like a bit that that's has funny. Developed in yeah. the comments is that they just call me Gemberling.
These guys are funny. Hey, they should have their I'm own podcast. Sure. What are they doing?
I should have all of these people on my podcast.
Yes, yeah, you might as well.
I should find one of my most insane critics and have them on the podcast and just fucking destroy them. I don't have any critics or listeners, so.
So there goes that idea.
It's not like I don't have any critics because everyone likes it. I don't have any critics because I haven't reached a mass in which someone needs to make yeah. a decision about how they feel about
you
the
You should have some sort of contest, though, amongst your listeners, because they're out there, of like who wants to come on your show and get ripped to shreds and like I can take it
and they have to rate it 5 stars like. First
I've seen you rip the assholes out of people on stage before that weren't even close to asking for it.
Yeah, they're just nice people who paid for a comedy
it's
show
so good it's so like fun DL to watch Hughley. It's just like Jesus Christ, I hope that's never me.
I am the DL Hughley of the UCB.
Yes.
I've been called that before.
Everybody's always like, yo, DL.
That's because I'm closeted homosexual, that's why they call me.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Just that, and that's then right. Yeah, and then you were on Studio 60.
That was my big break.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the we'll read this as the last one. It's called the title is "It Stinks" by Way Ogre. High and Mighty is a podcast hosted by John Gorgebus, body double for Saint Bernard legend Beethoven the dog.
That's
very funny. He sniffles and Long Island pig giggles his way through his guests' shared interests. If you like listening to a howling ape throw word feces at their keeper, then H&M is the podcast for you. Next week, I hear he's going to drink boiled hot dog water out of a bathtub using a crazy straw. Thanks for reminding me. It could be worse. 5 stars, tuning in daily.
Holy shit. That was awesome. When you started to saying boiled hot dog water, you're... accent
yes, kicked in
I can't
water.
Say hot dog.
Hot dog water
dog
with a water. Crazy straw.
Dog water.
Yeah, that was
give
awesome.
That dog some water.
What dog?
Oh, dog is like, I just filmed something, a TV show, and I had to say, dog, it's about looking for a lost dog, mm-hmm. but we live in LA in the pilot, and I'm screaming like, where's the dog? And like, the director was like, hey, can we
get rid of this
like
guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing though, it works the opposite way too, that is if you have things that take place in New York or New Jersey, which is the show that I'm working on now, Great News, that a lot of the times the cast are people from California, and you're like, they don't sound like they're from New York or New Jersey because they're not saying dog water.
Yeah.
I like email my agents anytime a show that's like New Yorkers. I'm like, dude, I can't, like, yeah. It's the only act I can do. It's like the yes. only way I can act yes. is with this fucking stupid ass accent. And as I get drunker, it just gets worse and worse. Or if I'm surrounded by other New Yorkers. Like if I go home and I'm standing in a circle with my brothers, we sound like fucking...
You're not even like speaking English anymore.
Yeah, we're like,
it's just like Cogni almost.
It's literally because there's like this thing that me and my brothers do that a lot of people like, we just like, yeah, and like... we gotta start.
But you do that as a joke, or that's just what happens?
It's like sort of a joke, but now it's like literally
it's
a form of communication.
That way.
It's like, dog!
Yeah, we're joking. Yeah. But dog!
Dog, we're developmentally disabled now, bro.
Me and my brother used to do Christopher Walken impressions, and it turned into like a form of language. It was like, Zong, Guns, Grunts, Kennels, Guns, Zong,
Is that what, Christopher Walken?
Not anymore.
No,
I mean, it started
wait,
out.
It sounded like someone else.
It sounded like Ringo or something.
Oh, yeah, Beatles. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. I was like, it sounded like a musician. I can't. Yeah. It's me, Paul.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
I can't do accents at
all. Yeah, we just made noises.
So but that's really that. I'll use this as a great segue into the things that you develop with someone that you're like.
Mm-hmm.
My friends of the podcast and your friend that you guys know too, Betsy and Drew, Betsy Sodaro and Drew Tarver. Mm-hmm. Like they hang out so much that like it starts as like a Chris Walken impression.
Yeah.
Then it morphs to this. Then it morphs to this. Now it's when you talk to your brother, you just go like, hey, and it's like you know the origin of it,
right?
Yeah.
And it's like Betsy and Drew have the same thing. Me and my brothers are the same thing. And now I'll use this moment to say. And then if you're married and you're living with someone for a long period of time, like Tiffany and I have inside jokes, inside languages, or things that if other people overheard us like referring to something, and you guys are dog owners as well.
Yeah. Oh,
in reference to your dog, like if people saw like you guys at your most unbridled,
no,
this is
bad.
Us in our house, it's the most, like if someone just... Patton Oswalt has a stand-up bit that's like, my biggest fear is if the NSA was ever recording me, they would listen to the songs I sing my dog while I drive around.
Oh, that's so
cute. We've talked about like our like G-chats, text messages, and things that we say to each other and in front of our dog that like, thank God no one else is here.
Yeah, like, and we would have no friends.
And pray to God that no one could hear this.
We would have no friends. Like, yeah, I think we were talking to our car this morning, even. We've turned our car into like a second pet now.
Yes, our car is already a cute
pet. Well, okay.
Yes, yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
We got rid of our old, like, our used cars and just got one new car. And
I destroyed Kelly's car by accident.
All right, so let's get into this. This is going to go from a marriage episode about marriage to just me straight up counseling. My marriage isn't that great, so.
Interesting story is that I had an early call time for Grandfathered, that show that I used to work on, and it was the last episode, so I got to play like a little part in it, which was very nice of them to let me do that.
John Stamos.
I played Stamos's. Twin brother, right? Yes, yeah, yeah. And I was like the sexy one. And I wrote the episode, and I was super hot, and he dies, he falls off a waterfall, and then I have sex with two blonde women.
Under the waterfall. Yeah, yeah. Very romantic.
Yeah, it's very romantic, very long.
Why'd you call me up here, Dan Stamos? Yes, to the top of Niagara Falls.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shots.
And I was trying to help
butt.
Him. I was trying to lend him money because he was so in debt, and then he slipped on a tadpole and died.
Whoa, I'm an idiot, is his last line. All right, please fuck those women. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not doing this because you asked me to. I'm doing this because you want me to.
And then there's a shot of your butt like humping the girl.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Sons of
like
Anarchy
in the room.
Style.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Sons of Anarchy sex.
Is that what they do?
They just show
the room.
That?
So Tommy Wiseau's butt is always like,
what's
like
the handsome
worst.
The new like raunchy man butt.
Yeah, what's the handsome guy that my wife is obsessed with from Sons of Anarchy?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen
the blonde guy from Undeclared.
Dennis Leary?
My wife's obsessed with Dennis Leary. It wouldn't make sense. By the way, before I said my marriage is not great, my marriage is good. I meant like I'm not the one to be dispensing advice.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah.
Just in case Tiffany's listening to this episode. Yeah,
like, why would you just throw that out randomly and then not even explore it? My marriage isn't great. How are you guys?
Yeah. So about that.
Well, I realized lately that, I mean, we've been married for a year. Marriage is like difficult and complicated. Like you go through like waves with it.
It's
of
weird.
New understanding.
You're right. It's not like, it is pretty much, if you've been living together for long enough, it doesn't change much.
Right.
Except it changes the horizon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The outlook is definitely different. Once you say I'm doing it, you're like, oh, I'm in this thing now.
Yeah.
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 And it's like a relate, like marriages can end. Like,
right.
Obviously, like, we've seen it.
Yeah.
That happens.
Constantly. Yes.
But there's something about when you decide to get married, you're saying, like, well,
We're not
ending.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in a relationship, you're like, this could end.
Yes.
And then it's an insane thing, but it's like, that's the only thing that changed about our marriage was that, like,
you know what? We're not going to end this one. We're
you're making a pact that no one else cares about.
Right. But
we're in this.
We're going to die together. Yeah. But there is something I love that about. Like, I personally am very much into that aspect of it, of like, fuck it. Now, what it felt like when I got married was like, we just solidified, this is the team.
Right.
Yeah,
this is what we're taking to the Olympics. This is
exactly.
The team we're taking out there.
To the Olympics every 4 years. And we're not going to get any better. Like, we're sort of, we might have already hit our peak, but we're going back and we're competing.
Yeah. The plateau was high enough.
Yeah, this analogy is getting depressing.
Yes, we're like,
we're doing the best we're ever going to do. Let's lock it in now
and just like keep trying.
But it is, because you can't really, like, every problem is a two-person problem.
Yeah.
That
Everything.
Is true. And that makes things difficult at times for me. Here we go, Kelly.
Let's hear
for
it.
Me, when things are out of my control and there's a problem, I don't know, money or something or whatever, that it's like, oh, now I feel doubly responsible.
Right.
If that makes sense. I don't know if you ever feel that.
You feel like, well, before you make any decision now, you have to, like, in your head or like legitimately communicatively check to make sure like this is the right move with the other person.
Totally.
Like,
yes.
You're now a unit where it's like,
I'm
confident enough that I can pick up groceries, but just in case,
Is
it broccoli Rob or broccoli? You know what I mean? Like, and that's
just
the
in
minor.
Case, did you have other plans? I mean,
that's like the most minor version. The top version of that is like, wait, What do you mean you said you were going away with our friends that weekend? That's a friend, a weekend a friend is visiting. You know, like,
right, yeah. Right,
and
right.
It's like, shit, you have to do everything.
You have
someone gave me shit the other night when we were at that, like, food trucks thing on, where was that? By the museum, the Autry? Have you ever done, it's like some market thing on, like, a Friday night.
No.
It's like an adorable, like, married couple Los thing to
oh,
do.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so I did Smorgasburg LA on Sunday.
So it's similar.
It's very similar.
When me and a couple other guys were just going to go check out the food trucks, I said, you know, like, hey, Kelly, we're just going to go do this. Aww. And they were like, whooped, you know? And I was like, oh, geez. Like, but I don't.
Learning someone of
me.
What your plans are is, by the way, is the
yes.
most unwhipped thing
that's,
you
see,
can
that's
do.
That's what I think, too. It's like, I'm just letting them know, but and as if, I don't know. That bugged me.
It's annoying. Well, they don't understand what it's like, I guess. It's
how much,
like,
we love each other.
How much we like each other. And I want to tell you what I'm doing.
Me too. I also want to know if you want something.
Do you want,
but again,
something?
This is, I guess, their point.
Exactly.
But being whipped and making
right.
sure that your partner's needs are being met at any
yeah.
moment are two totally different
yes.
things.
That's like what, yeah.
yeah,
and that
Dan,
I would say the general
whipped.
Population doesn't differentiate between those
right
two,
well, because yeah. Dan is not whipped. Like, if Kelly got up to go, she would say the same thing.
Yes,
and it's
yeah.
not because either
yes.
one of you is the subservient
that, and it's like, why didn't you tell me? It's more like, oh, thanks for letting me know.
Right.
And maybe I do want something.
Right,
yeah, it's an equal opportunity zone at our house.
That's a good way of putting it.
I
yeah,
think I, so I think it's very equal, and we're equally responsible for communicating, and
most of our those things are out of or volunteer. We're
yeah.
voluntarily doing it. So,
right. Right. Yeah. No one's.
It's an instinct.
I would say that with Tiff, we are overly, like, the thing you're saying. It's like Tiff's like, after work, I'm gonna get my nails done and then do this, and I get the text, and I'm like, I don't need to know any of this. But then I'll just send a text. It's like, in an Uber now. Have a show. We'll call you after show.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
why do we need to tell each other? But it is that thing of, like, it's just nice to know what everyone's up to.
But that's I think it's just like that means that either you or her or both of you would be stressed out if you or have had an experience that you something happened, you're like, I didn't know where you were or whatever,
right.
that you're like, oh, I'm not going to cause that stress again, or I don't like it, so it's just easier to deal with it now.
Right. It's almost like, if I'm going to shut my phone off for 2 hours to do Ask
yeah,
At,
yeah.
maybe it's just better you know that, just
yeah.
in case you forget
exactly.
that I'm doing Ask At, and you're not like, now that his phone's going straight to voicemail, you know?
Yeah, like,
right.
well, he's dead in a ditch.
Right, and it's and exactly, and it's not even like, oh, he's cheating on me, or
no.
oh, he's doing something sketchy. It's more
no.
like, oh, shit, he's not answering me. I want to know what he wants to get for to order for dinner tonight.
You would let her know. You're like, hey, cheating on you. Be back in 2 hours.
yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, can't make it.
Yeah.
Having an affair.
yeah, do you need some you know, chicken sausage when I get back?
if Dan texted me that, I would say, send pics.
yeah, yeah, have fun.
Send pics.
Good luck. Keep it hard. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Send pics. Hashtag, yeah, right.
yes, yeah, probably. Send me those Dennis Leary ass... Sons
getting
of
pumped
Anarchy.
By
Asarchy.
Is Dennis Leary in Sons
no,
of
No, I don't know. I associate those.
He's in every other FX show.
Yeah, that's well. He's in a lot of FX shows, and also, like, Sons of Anarchy has like an assholey type vibe.
Like, it's
right?
like blue collar, white
blue collar,
guys.
And
yeah,
that to me
yeah.
is like Dennis Leary.
Charlie Hunnam, by the way, is the dude's name that I was
oh,
trying to think of. Before.
I would never have known that. I've never heard
that
name
is.
In my
yeah.
life.
Yeah, he's the handsome.
Do you watch the show?
I watched every season of Sons of Anarchy.
Is it good? What is it? Is that the motorcycle one?
Yeah, it's like a couple of seasons of a really fun, good show, and then like five seasons of like a weird all male soap opera.
really?
Whoa!
it's
that's
not bad though. I never. It got really weird. Weird and cheesy, but I always enjoyed it.
All
but
male
that was, again,
soap operas. That's
yeah.
appealing to me.
It was like a macho soap opera. It was always like, we never kill women. You know, they were
oh,
like,
that's
they were like,
I was trying to think what it could be.
They were like criminals, but they had to be the good, you had to root yeah. for them too. So there was like all these layers of like terrible
yeah.
writing they had to work through.
Yeah.
yeah, is it legitimately good or is it good?
The first
for...
couple of seasons are like legitimately good. It's like this is a crazy show. This is like an interesting cast of a show. Like
right.
they're killing each other. They're vying for power in a motorcycle gang. They're all criminals, but you like them. And then by season three, they're like in Ireland because the baby was kidnapped by a priest. like,
<all right>. Why you, like why you watch a
the
show
baby.
Is so interesting.
The motorcycle
like,
gang
how,
baby.
How
it was yeah. literally pretty much the baby of the gang.
How a show could tiptoe between good and bad. Bad and
yeah.
how it doesn't matter at a certain point too, and people can just recognize that it's not good, but I like it. It's fascinating,
right? Well, that's sort of like there's foods that you like look at and you're like, that
I guess
is,
so. That's true.
That is objectively disgusting, but I like it.
Taco Bell?
Yeah. Taco Bell's like,
there
my
it
favorite.
Is.
Taco that, Bell's our favorite.
Taco Bell comes up on every
episode. I'm getting Taco
of my
Bell for my birthday.
That is. And your birthday's in April.
My birthday is next week. And I did this for my 30th birthday that we go to a hotel by the beach. There's a dog beach down there in Huntington Beach, so we could take Wallace, our dog, too.
We go to a dog hotel.
Then we go to it, yeah. And there's a dog, and then for my birthday, I eat Taco Bell in bed at the hotel by the beach.
Wait,
I'm not even lying. My face hurts because I'm smiling so hard because that is the cutest thing, and also yes. Exactly what I want to do for my.
It's a great hotel, man.
My dream is I want to have a Taco Bell party at my house where I have like 50 people over.
Yeah,
just
oh my gosh.
So I can. Instagram a Taco Bell receipt that breaks like $400.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Where it's like just to see all the items.
That's
listed.
A ton,
Taco Bell
that's a
should
things.
Cater. I feel like they should have like a fountain of nacho cheese situation, that kind of thing.
I went to a party one time and it was like a potluck, and I just didn't know what to do. I just brought 40 cheesy gordita crunches and showed up with like
God.
A big bag.
I bet people were stoked.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's a good.
When I went back to New Jersey recently, one of the things that we did was go to the Freehold Mall. And get a cheesy gordita crunch at the Taco Bell in the food court of just like remembering high school.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's
and
so
guess
fun.
What happened yeah. on the way? We realized that there was a Jewish cemetery outside of the mall.
Oh, this is not what I was like. What? yes, this
Dan's grandparents are buried next to the mall.
Yeah, my
that's the about the most New Jersey thing.
So my grandparents are buried next. We stopped and paid our respects, and
yes,
then we
and
went
then got
to the mall
Bell.
And ate Taco Bell.
And my parents were so touched.
It was. So
I've never
funny.
Done that before. I've never gone to
it
like my
nuts.
Grandparents'
I've graves never really done that either.
Just for.
Just
we were just
stop.
Like, I'm in town.
Did your mom and dad never like dragged you there?
They as a kid, yes.
Yeah.
As a kid, we did. But this is the first time as an adult, by accident, we're going to the mall. And I'm like, wait a minute.
We have our rollerblades on.
Yes, yeah. We got our rollerblades on. We're like ready for Taco Bell. And I'm like, wait a minute. My grandparents are buried over here. We should just check it out real fast. And I remembered where they were buried.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
You found their graves.
That's a very
quick.
Difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a huge cemetery.
It wasn't huge.
Okay.
But
the mall
cemetery. There's only two.
No.
And, yes, yeah. The mall cemetery
there's
is huge.
There's only two. There's two
inside
little plots
the mall.
And a Orange Julius.
Yeah, yeah. Orange Julius, the plots, Old Navy, Lids.
Lids.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we did do that. That was actually kind of nice. And
yeah.
I did feel good as an adult. I was like, this is nice to do
that
this.
Is one of the most adult days you can have. Is
oh,
eat
yeah.
Talk about the mall and visit your grandparents' cemetery.
In central New Jersey.
It's really funny that in one of, like, my birthday, I get to eat Taco Bell. When I visit my grandparents,
I get to eat
Taco Bell. Yeah. I basically use it for any excuse, like, where I'm like, I need to feel good right now. Give me the Taco Bell.
I've been dealing with that with food is that I've been celebrating and coping with food. Like, it's like I
oh,
just
no.
do it when I'm like, oh, I'm in a bad mood. Let me just get a fucking nice Italian sandwich. That'll cheer me up. And it's like, I'm having a great day. Let's keep this high
nice
going.
Italian, like,
oh, I need to at
I'll
least have one day a week.
I had a rough morning.
Yeah. I'll
nice
have a
Italian
big
sandwich.
Bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah.
I've been doing a thing
while
with
I
food.
Drive.
Yeah.
Like a big bowl of.
My new thing with food, because I gained weight when at my last job just because in writers' rooms they have tons of food. Everywhere
and you're sitting for
and
like
you're sitting and you're not
hours.
Walking
there's
in Los Angeles
in
for some reason.
Idiots.
Even though it's the nicest weather you could possibly imagine.
Yeah,
you won't walk anywhere. So my thing is now like not making every meal an orgasm worthy experience. That
yes.
like not every time you eat you have to be like, oh that's so good, oh
yeah.
this, you gotta taste this, you know.
Yeah.
It's more like some meals should be functional.
Well, that's why people I know a lot of people, especially people who work day jobs, who are like, for lunch, I just have lunch. Like, I just have salad or
yes,
just meat
just
and
like
veggies.
What? Yeah.
I just choke down lunch.
Yes.
It's like,
it's
that's
just
to
nutrition.
Get me through the day. I try to avoid snacks while I'm
yeah.
there. And then that way, if I can have something fun or something for dinner. If you eat, like, a healthy breakfast and lunch, and then don't go, like, you don't have Taco Bell for dinner every night. That
don't
works.
Go eight.
Yeah,
yeah,
4 or 5 nights.
I think everyone should be taking nutrition advice from the 325-pound, sweaty 10-year-old that's hosting a podcast. Right?
Wearing, like, a backwards
I'm wearing a backwards
like,
a tank top
yeah,
with a dog
like,
with a cigarette on it.
This is Oh, this is official High and Mighty merch. This is
Oh, really?
Oh, that's awesome.
That is Taco nice. Bell, I thought it was a cigarette. Oh, my God. Actually, a marijuana cigarette.
That's fantastic.
A jazz cigarette, Kelly
that's
Hudson.
Fantastic, yes.
Is jazz, that a reference to something on the cigarette. Show, or this is just like, nah, I like this?
Well, I was like, the other one is a picture of my face, like a High and Mighty. It's like my logo.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I want to buy a shirt that I would wear. I can't wear High and Mighty with John Gabris with my face on the chest around. That
seems
weird.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking if we made merch, what would happen? And I was imagining our like two faces, but then I was like, I wouldn't wear that.
But even that's okay, because at least there's one other person on it.
Exactly.
Like, if you
not
just walk
just
around
your
with like, your face,
face
on
it. Yeah. People would be like,
I'm proud of my podcast.
What's wrong with you?
I host a very fun podcast.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, so one of my favorite things about like talking about marriage and teamwork and all that stuff is the delineation of like skill sets or like chores is not the right word.
We have a clear, we have one clear one, which is cooking.
Yeah, I'm the cooker.
You're Kelly the cooker. Cooks, I clean.
That's same in our house.
Yes.
I do the, oh, you clean the house.
No.
You do
no,
the dishes.
Good God.
No.
I'm, oh, God. No. Well,
I'm still a man.
I'm a man. I'll never do that. No, it's just more out of.
This
that
is just
the
dinner.
Least
we're talking dishes.
Yeah, I have the least manly excuse for not cleaning the house, which is that I get so overwhelmed by it that I have to have somebody else do it.
That's a very Dan Klein moment.
Yes, that it's like, oh, this is too much for me. Yeah, like, let's just pay someone to do
cleaning
this.
Cleaning a house, something that people have been doing since the dawn of existence, yes. is too much
it's
for
It's like, I could have a panic attack doing it. Wait, one thing, I didn't get back to me crashing Kelly's car.
Oh, right.
Yeah, let's finish that story.
The thing that I was going to say before is that So I had an early call time for Grandfathered. I was doing a small cameo role. I crashed Kelly's car, just smacked it into the back of a pickup truck.
Totaled it.
I mean, didn't total it, but just crunched the front of it.
Like on a, like they stopped and you hit them from behind.
It was it was the exit on the freeway where it was like stop and go.
Yeah.
And he stopped and I smacked into him.
He stopped, I goed.
I goed, baby. And I was like, it's your fault. The guy was super nice to me. It was all good. It fucked up Kelly's car. Car still ran.
And why were you driving Kelly's car that morning?
He had just sold it.
Oh, I had just sold my car.
Because I
had an old car that was starting to cost a lot of money for like repairs and stuff. And I was like, let me just see how much CarMax would give me. And they give you a lot of money for a car. So I was like, well, let's just sell it. We only need one car right now.
And then we'll buy our new car eventually.
Or lease or whatever.
So we'll ride out this one used car until we need to buy
a
new car. Yeah, and then you smash it up.
That same week. Smashed into a pickup truck, just like accordion, like the whole front. Then it turns out at the grandfathered shoot, I see the guy who I crashed into. And I'm like, oh, he's come back here to like kill me or something. And his name is also Dan. And he's like, Dan? And I'm like, Dan? And he's like, he was the props guy at the grandfather's
Thank
shoot.
God they had like a good experience.
Yeah, he's like super nice guy.
Right, because then you have to like work with him.
Yes, then we work together all day.
He's like, don't forget, here, hold this prop gun.
Yes,
in
as he like pointed at my head. He's like, yeah, that would work. So he was cool. We didn't have any insurance on our own. We didn't cover like our car because we're like, if we smash it, let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it would have cost too much to repair. So then I was so overwhelmed, as I am wont to do.
Recurring theme.
I was overwhelmed.
If you get overwhelmed cleaning a house, you're gonna get overwhelmed dealing with a totaled
so
car.
Then I
imagine the texts you'd be getting.
Oh
if you
my
were
god!
Me.
Right. Well, that's,
Kelly's
we'll,
at work.
We'll get into this in another later on too. Work. But that's the hardest part about being married is when somebody else's problem
going through
it has
you.
To be your problem. Yeah. Like, and I am a guy who doesn't have many issues. Like, nothing really bothers
me. We help
each
other
me.
Through panic attacks.
We do.
Kelly and I have had many panic attacks.
Where
that
we
the
trade
other
off
one,
the mommy dude.
I passed you know. Out last the other weekend. Kelly panicked. Kelly was one time way too high in a hotel room. She panicked. So we're good about we support each other.
Yeah,
it's good. It's the yin and the yang.
The yin and yang. If someone is too high and panicking, so I'm panicking. I'm texting Kelly. So what happens basically is I put the car up for sale that day
immediately
on Craigslist. And I sold it within like hours.
You say it's a little smashed up.
It's too expensive for us to take care of, but it still runs. It still runs fine.
Oh.
So I put it up on Craigslist. It was sold within like 2 hours. Gone. And people were like competing for it. That was overwhelming.
And then I was getting all these texts, and he was like, "Where's the title?" And I'm like, "I don't know. It's in the glove box."
Some Mexican dude just gave me cash and like left.
It was crazy.
And that car was gone. that day.
And I didn't
Well, do you think someone would buy
again?
It because they can fix it pretty cheap and they're like, oh, okay, well, I'll buy this car. I can fix it. And I can probably flip it.
They could fix the body. Yeah. And they were,
he said he was
going to
give it to his daughter.
For his daughter. Oh, so that was like a nice
And then there was
story.
Another guy there while I was selling it to that guy who was like, I'll give you more money. I can get you more money or whatever. And I was like, get out of here. Like,
that's so crazy.
It was insane.
So
horrible
then I came home and we had no cars.
No cars. No cars. Recently sold two cars. You have a lot of, you have some liquid cash floating around.
Yes. But not as much as we could have had, but yes, we got some liquid cash, so now we then we leased this Toyota Prius C.
So that's
that
our car,
nicknamed Teddy.
Yeah, that's our
so
car.
So now that's how we get our car, and that's our,
that's car, our car
is Teddy.
Teddy.
And you call Teddy and Wallace, Dan and Kelly.
Yes, Teddy. We're like one little happy family, sort of.
Yeah.
And then so recently I passed out. I passed out recently.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Okay.
I don't know how. We don't know how. I passed out at a restaurant.
It was really
embarrassing.
It was terrible. He was
and
sitting
scary.
Down.
I was sitting down in a booth
and
of
like
an Indian
telling
restaurant.
Me he was about to pass out, so I sat next to him so he wouldn't like fall down and hurt
himself. What do you don't know what brought it on?
Well, the emergency room doctor said, because I had a little bit of weed, I had one of those, an edible.
But we're talking like
tiny
blueberry.
Come on, you know me. You could say
I know you're not going to be ripping hard. Partying.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw you have a Bud Light once at a party.
Yeah, and I didn't even finish it.
I know. You were nursing it the whole party.
It was like tiny. It was like we had a nice, relaxed Saturday, tiny amount. I've had it multiple times before. Something happened after I ate. I was like, I'm either getting extremely high or I'm passing out.
Or dying.
Or I'm dying. I pass out. They have to call 911. Paramedics come, but Kelly was starting to freak out because she's worried I'm dying. Yeah. And I, at one point,
well, because
after
it really was in and out. And like not able to talk, and I was like having my life flash. Like I was like, "This is over. It's over. My husband's dying." Like,
oh my god!
And then he finally was like, "Okay, I'm back for real." I was like, "What was that other stuff? Like you were passed out the whole time?" And he
was
like,
a
"Kelly,
funny bit, right?"
Yeah. And he was like, "Kelly, you have to calm down." And I was like, "Oh yeah, okay. I'm the mom.
Yeah,
I'm the mom."
Yeah.
Oh right. I'll freak. I can freak out later.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I
technically,
can't do it.
Although I'm like relaxed in this situation, I'm the one that's losing it. You have to be
right
here.
Just because I'm not panicking,
I am
in and out of consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, so you.
What did the ER doctor say?
The ER doctor sort of blamed it on the weed. That's what, because he's, but they were treating me as if I had like eaten like
OD'd
three brownies.
Yeah, they're like, yeah.
And
this
I was like,
happens
no.
apparently all the time where someone will take an edible, and of course the subscription system is all over the place. People take an edible, they've never had it before, they're like, I'm dying, and they're like,
people just don't understand milligrams.
Exactly.
And also, everyone's got a different tolerance. People, I have a high tolerance. There are people who have even higher tolerance than me. But there's no need for like 1,000 milligram brownies. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
they shouldn't even exist because
it's just dangerous.
Everyone,
why would they do that?
Here's my go to bit about edibles. Everyone, how many times have you heard this story? I had a piece. I didn't really feel anything. I had a second piece, and then I had the best night of my life.
Yeah.
That second, it's always. And then I had a second piece, and the walls closed in. And I saw the devil.
Yeah, so it was never like I had the greatest time.
I feel like you hear that a lot about mushrooms too. When someone eats mushrooms, I'm like, I'm not feeling it.
No,
let me have another batch of
mushrooms. Yeah, you'll be okay.
You're gonna be fine. You're gonna get there. Okay?
Right. That happens a lot, and that's a really this introduces another marriage dynamic. Especially since we are, you know, dinks, double income, no kids, and both working. And because of our career choices, we're sort of, and because we're long-time New Yorkers, our mature level is like a little different. Like when probably every one of your high school friends owns a home and has several kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And has been like, you know,
we have a one-bedroom apartment in East Hollywood.
Right, exactly.
We own a car.
No, we don't. We lease it.
Yeah,
you're right.
we own nothing.
Yeah.
We have no assets.
This is how you know that you are
a dog.
Like, yeah, the most expensive thing you own is a laptop, right?
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly same as us.
Yeah.
And it's like that is so low stakes compared to most.
Whew.
But there's something about which means also we party more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that means weekday drinking or weekday getting high. And then that's an interesting dynamic in a marriage is when Tiffany gets drunk more often than I do, and I get high more often than she does.
That
and
sounds true for us.
Get kind of like She doesn't love it when I'm super stoned, and I don't really love it when she's drunk. And it's a very, we have to just sort of deal with it. Like, you just kind of, because it's a crazy thing to be like, you can't do that. And then it's like, well, then you can't do the thing you like. And it's like, well, that's not fair.
Yeah, and it's only because we're in, like, such a small place together that is a problem.
Right, and it's only like you just get home from work and you're on a different pace. Like, it's that's the other thing. Being, your paces, your level of intensity is not always going to line up.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you could be having, like you guys work separate jobs. Kelly has a great day. You have a terrible day. You come back home, and I don't want to deal with your terrible day. I'm riding high. But it's like, no, every positive thing and every good thing and every bad thing is divided in half, which is how you get – how it makes it easier to deal with the bad shit because you split the load.
Right.
And it makes you can share in the enjoyment of the good stuff because you split that, the dividends there.
Right.
But you're still only getting half. Right. Like,
yeah,
there's
true.
That moment of like, whenever Tiff's having a bad day, I have a hard time where I'm like, okay, you're having a good day, but that's not what this is about. You chose to share everything.
Right.
You dig in and find out what the fuck is going on. And that was the hardest part for me to get over because I don't have...
Yeah, it's a self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's really hard, but it is worth it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, even not like trade that for the lovely partnership of marriage. In those moments, it's like to be able to help that person, to be able to take some pain is like... So huge.
It's nice. Yeah. I'm not working a full-time job right now. So when Dan gets home, my goal is to like have a great evening with him. And so like I'll make food. I'll be like, what do you want to watch? Do you want to go for a walk?
Oh, that's really fun.
Just sort of feel out what he's in the mood for.
I'm also exhausted.
He's usually exhausted. So we just hang. But it's like.
Dan has been 65 since I met him 10 years ago.
I could fit in someone's pocket. I'm tiny, exhausted, frustrated.
I just want to put my feet up,
yes,
Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Give me
my dogs are barking.
Yeah, from a job where I'm sitting down all day and thinking of funny ideas.
And he also has so much energy and he's so youthful. Like you're like a little kid too.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you're
the
an
thing.
Old man and a little kid.
Oh, yes. 100. I feel like you could say that about there's like a certain type of people that are in comedy that are old men and little kids
and
at
little
the same
kids.
Time.
Yeah.
I think Gillo's is the paramount of like,
oh my god,
15-year-old and 50-year-old in one.
And we're talking, no, not even 15, we're talking like 4-year-old. Yeah. He can act like a 4-year-old little kid.
You know what's something I just realized talking about like good days, bad days? That's an interesting sort of new thing is that this has happened recently now that like I have people that I work with or I'm friends with. And if I go out, I'll like want to party more than you.
Oh,
will.
Yeah. Totally.
And if you have friends now, like Kelly has work friends or other friends that if she goes out with them, she'll want to drink more and just like stay out more. And I'm like, I'm kind of like the third wheel here.
Yeah.
And so
it's hard to be in the mood at the same time.
Yeah. We're rarely in a situation now.
That's a blanket marriage statement.
Yes. Right there. Yeah. It's hard to be in the same mood at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, because like you would say that obviously about sex, but it's also true about like, oh, you're who's gonna be there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
you
I'm
really
not
want
gonna
me to
have any fun.
Me and Tiff are pretty good about like, just stay home.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Right.
But then it's also like you don't want to do too much stuff without your wife, or without your husband, because then it starts to feel weird, especially if other people are like, are there gonna be other couples? We have like. She has a lot of her own friends. I have a lot of my own friends. We have a lot of shared friends.
Yeah.
And we sort of just divvy it up that way. And then we have a lot of friends between the two of us that are like comfortable third wheelers. Like Ben Rogers is a very like me, Tiff, and Ben Rogers do things together.
Yes,
you know, like we hang out. Like that's not weird for us.
Right.
But like then we have some other friends that we hang out with only as couples. And we have some friends where Tiff's like, I'm like, just go. I don't want to deal with that person or whatever.
That's true.
We just went to separate weddings this last weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not sure if it was better or worse that we weren't there.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was fine that you weren't at this one because it was so strange. It was like my cousin's wedding that you don't know.
Mine was old college friends.
Yeah, which and I think I would have had a great time.
I think you would have had a really good time. People wanted to see you. At the same time, I'm also glad that I got to like hang out with just them.
Right.
Well, it's more like it would have been great to have Kelly there, but it would have been worse for you to be at Kelly's cousin's.
Yeah, yes. I won.
Yeah. I won the weekend. And same for you, though,
you
right?
You won the weekend.
I won the weekend.
You kind of had, did you kind of feel an obligation to go more?
Yeah, and I needed to visit.
Now, I think he's listening, that it was an obligation that you had to
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. That side of the family, we just never see them that much. And then also, I hadn't been home to Austin in a while, so I made a trip
It's sort of like doubled up. Yeah. that makes total sense.
Yeah, which I would have loved. Dan loves being in Austin, and I know that. So it's not like I felt like he was like, maybe.
We had a situation like that one time where I happened to be home for work in back east for work, and then one of my college roommates, we're all still pretty close, and everyone that I went to college with is kind of like married to girls they were dating in college, so it's like everyone knows each other's wives in like a cool way.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be home, and then I found out he was getting married that weekend, and I was like, I had RSVP'd no. Because I couldn't be home. And then I'm like, oh, dude, I'm actually going to be home over that weekend.
Jeez.
He's like, oh, okay, we got a seat for you. I'm like, great. And he's like, is Tiff coming? I'm like, no. And then there was like this weird thing where Tiffany, and then I'm at this wedding seeing people and they're like, where's your wife? And then it's like, oh, no, it's totally fine. I just happen to be in town.
Yeah.
And like for people who don't do a lot of separate things, that's like
it's
weird
It's very
thing.
Strange. Yeah. Oh my gosh, John and Tiff. I don't know what's going on.
It's weird that he came to the wedding by himself. It was really weird too because my college girlfriend was there.
Dan's college girlfriend was at the wedding last weekend.
With her new husband and she was pregnant.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, hey, and like talking to them, and damn. I'm like, I wish, and I in that moment I wanted Tiffany to be there because I wanted to be like a little floss of like, this is what I do now.
This is what I have.
This is the situation I got now.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I got a small apartment, a dog, and a laptop, baby.
I've been on 11 TV shows and I have credit cards. I've been on 11 low budget non-union MTV 2 shows.
Oh yeah, nice. Keep that
living the dream.
Non-union coming.
Keep that not money flowing.
Tiffany though, oof, having her on your arm, that's got to be nice.
It feels good.
Yeah,
it feels good.
Bringing that woman to a wedding and being like, "This is my wife." People are like, "Oh,
cool." She's such a party animal too. So it's like such a bringing my wife
somewhere. She's the ultimate.
Yeah, it's like such a. It's sometimes I don't want to deal with you right now. They're like too intense, but a lot of times I'm like, look at her. She's a goddamn psychopath.
Your guys' wedding was crazy.
Right.
In that,
oh
I
my
remember,
God.
Remember there was like people heckling you guys.
Ceremony.
Yeah, during the ceremony.
During the ceremony, people were screaming.
Yeah, this actual ceremony was crazy. We're not talking about crazy party afterwards. We're talking about crazy ceremony.
Out now, John! Like a guy yelling.
We drank before this. We served alcohol before
the
ceremony.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
Which was something that accidentally happened at a wedding we went to once. They like accidentally opened the bar because the rabbi was running late.
Oh, okay.
And me and Tiff were like, it's a genius move to have alcohol before the ceremony.
I would think so too.
It's so smart to sit there for an hour in the heat without like a cocktail in your hand. Is like, that's such a dick move.
It is.
But also to make someone sit for an hour anyway.
Yeah.
So we did like a 20-minute barnyard cemetery ceremony. A Freudian slip. But yeah, we were being heckled. And it was where we
it
come from, like families, like
specifically, like one
that
man,
yeah.
And like the door.
That's
your drunk uncle. The door blew open, and he goes, "It's a sign. Get out now.
Yeah.
It's not too late."
Right. It was like
and
my
his
dad
wife
died,
was
like,
just like sad. Yeah. His wife was sad.
When I said my drunk uncle, I should just rephrase that and say one of my uncles. They all happen to be alcoholics as well. Conveniently enough, that's funny that we bring up my wedding
because
we were unable to go to your wedding.
Yes.
Unable to travel.
Oh man, you would have been good there.
You would have had
fucking
a great
So let's talk a little bit about what happened at your wedding.
Well, let's hear your perspective. When did you find out what happened? Did you follow it on Instagram? Did you see?
I saw on Instagram
something is happening.
Something is happening. And were Darcy and Jason there?
Yes.
Yes, because that's Darcy Carden, great comedian, also Instagram power user.
Yes.
Like, knows what she's doing.
Yes.
Like
she
gets the info up there.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit. I saw like an aftermath Instagram.
Because there wasn't a lot happening going during it.
Yeah, well, no
because
one's like, I think something bad's about to happen. Because
even in our wedding photos,
we were all
photos,
thinking we were going
to
die.
We have these really nice pictures beforehand, and then it cuts to us in a
like
house
wet.
Soaking wet.
Yeah, we're just wet all of a sudden.
All right, so let's...
Yes, yeah.
So basically, we had our wedding. It was supposed to be outside, and then it was like, well, it's been raining all month. Like the weather
and Texas, this was outside of Austin, Texas, Hill Country is what it's, you know, right in like South Austin. It's in like a 5-year drought. But then all of a sudden, May, the month that we're supposed to get married, it's pouring.
It's been pouring
thunderstorms
all month. Yeah.
And so,
I was there the whole month prepping, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Now, the day before our wedding at the rehearsal dinner, it just, there was like a downpour.
Yeah, there was
so
like
a I'm thinking, oh, this is actually kind of a good sign.
Yeah, because maybe if it pours today, yes. it'll be nice tomorrow.
No.
Yes. But that's whenever not what it happened. Rains, like, so we had to do all these preparations. Like, whenever it rains, apparently the ants come out. So we had to have ants, like, killed. And then we had to have all these tents put up that we had sort of last minute been like, okay, we have to go ahead with these fucking tents. And so we had to do the whole thing under tents because it was sort of sprinkling. And
yeah.
And so the wedding time comes. We're all a little bit moist or whatever from the sprinkles. But we have this, like, lovely ceremony.
And that's a fun, like, that just makes your thing a little different. Right? Like, you know, a little rain. It's like, oh, this is sweet.
It actually is good.
And weddings that I've been to now where it is raining a little bit, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool because it just keeps everyone on their toes.
And
you know?
It keeps
so it's
everyone
not
inside
so,
and, like, kind of yeah. bunched together.
And it feels more real. Like,
yeah,
it's
yes,
real.
Yeah, that it's like something is happening. They're dealing with it.
Yeah.
But then dinner comes around.
So then dinner. Well, first of all, we had a petting zoo. There was, like, baby bunnies. And, like, that was another thing. And, like, a photo booth. So that was, you know, starting to rain
That's
a little
the
harder.
11-year-old side of
dinner. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I need it.
Yeah. yeah. So, and then we went, the reception starts. You know, people had, there was appetizers, then like some speeches, some dances happened, and then dinner starts to be served. We get our dinner first, so we like wolf it down, and then we're like talking to people, getting drunk real quick. I was getting drunk.
But then there's a warning on everyone's phone goes off at once. It goes that like weird sound.
Amber alert.
Yeah. And it's saying there's a tornado alert in right where we are.
And I've grown up there, you know, my parents have lived there 40 years or whatever, and it's like we don't get tornadoes.
And also, like, if you look around, you're like, you would see it. I mean, you feel like you'd see a tornado or something,
yeah,
and you're like, we're in the country, there's nothing happening. Like, okay, weather service, like, we're like really close to a city. I don't think there's a tornado
coming.
So,
some people were panicking. I think Neil Casey snuck inside.
It's so funny. I didn't know, Gil and Emily. Yeah, Gil and Emily.
Gil was panicking.
They were inside before anyone. Yeah. And it's so weird because I didn't notice anyone panicking, and
so
I think everybody just sort of rolled their eyes at it.
Privately panicking and went going inside.
And that's what I like about our freewheeling, love, like crazy wild friends. They're like, but for real, a tornado is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And Gil, of course, Gil has like
dry. He was dry. Everyone else soaking wet. Gil is dry because he was inside
Gil's
before
inside
anybody.
In like one of those like disaster-proof like Zorb, like so big inflatable hamster.
So yeah, the wedding is outside, but there is like a house on the property, which is where we were staying in the wedding. Party was like sleeping over for that weekend.
But we're talking like a 4-bedroom house, not anything crazy.
So basically, I don't know, a couple minutes after that warning goes off, people are like, whatever, and then bam, and things just start blowing over.
Like, we're talking the tables, these tables are just flying.
The wind
huge.
Picks up from this is pretty gusty too. Like, this is, these winds
like,
are.
To wham. Yeah. To like,
things are,
wham.
You can't, things are just getting knocked over. And then torrential downpour.
And then we're talking, I guess, I don't even know what the minutes or time frame was, but what I remember is running inside and just circling the building and just seeing people pouring in. I just like was in a tizzy. And Dan was staying outside longer trying to like, you and some and Zach.
Well,
trying
I'm trying to help. I mean, first of all, you're not prepared for this in any way. So your first thought
most
is
most people are not.
Yes,
and then,
yeah.
30-year-old comedy writers have lived
yes,
in yeah. an area their entire life are even less. Prepared.
Yes, yes. So I'm just sort of like staring at people.
And the wedding is made up of because you're both in the comedy business. So
yes.
It's like everyone
weak. Unprepared people
yes.
who are running and screaming for their lives.
And then a handful of older people. Were,
right,
know,
like old our relatives.
Our aunts and uncles.
I do remember Arthur, my friend, helping my like aunt who uses like a cane. Like him helping her at one point, me just seeing that and just being like, what is happening right now? And so people are running inside. I'm trying to like save the wedding, but what does that mean? So at one point, me and my friend Zach try to like hold down the tent, which I don't even know what that would do. The tent flies out of our hands above our heads and slams down on a table. And we're like, and then we see another friend of ours go, get inside! And we just are like, oh, and we just run inside.
People could have been hurt really bad by
that. that's when I realized, I'm like, oh, that's how people get hurt in these situations that they get
something will hurt you. Yes, it's like when a table blows into
and knocks in your head and you get a concussion and you're down.
No one died and
no one got
hurt.
So good news is no one died. Bad news is everything is destroyed. Everyone goes inside soaking wet, like, what the hell is happening? Cool thing is, a lot of people got out of there. Just seriously got in their cars, drove away. And, like, so the old people at the party left. Now who's left is, like, a lot of the young people and, like, some of the – even the catering staff sort of, like, ditched. So we've got, like, coolers of beer. They brought the cake inside. My insane friends, Anthony Marinos and Zach.
Daily lemonade. Yes, dude, he's going to make lemonade out of lemons any chance he gets.
So he goes back outside into the storm, gets the sound equipment. They set up the sound equipment and, like, clear the living room. And at one point, after everyone's accounted for, my mom's screaming for my brother, thinking he's dead.
She was crying.
Kelly's got cousins who ran into the shed.
Yeah, they're hiding in the shed.
And then at one point, they just, like, hook everything up, turn on Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith, and just a house party erupts.
Was there a laugh? Because I would be, like, dying laughing if this is what's actually happening on my wedding day. Or was it, like, a touch too scary to be really
fun? It was a touch too scary, and so I just had no response. I was just like, ah.
I was in a very dark place.
Apparently, I said to my sister-in-law, what did we say? I said to Amy at some point, I don't even remember saying this, I said, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen or something.
I mean,
and I don't remember that.
I thought, like, at one point, I just knew I had lost complete control over, like, what was the worst idea? Like, what's the worst that could happen? Your wedding is destroyed and all your friends and family that you've brought to this place, because it is like a destination wedding.
Right. You are, like, invited them all here.
Yeah, they've all spent the goddamn money.
To get hurt, to, like, have spent money. Like, I mean, everything is bad. And I was like, this sucks. But then the party just, like, got going, and it was much more of a party than it would have ever been before.
Right, because now it's less, it's like a survivor's camp.
And now we're soaking wet.
It was like
wet.
A refugee camp.
A shit?
Arthur Meyer started making everyone sing the Star Spangled Banner at some point.
I actually don't, Arthur claims that he had nothing to do with that. That's when,
that's real on game for Arthur.
That's when I was at my darkest. Yeah.
Do you think it was Jen Page?
For some reason, the entire wedding was singing the Star Spangled Banner, and they're inside, and it's just panic, and I'm like, I've lost it.
That,
like,
was
it's
before
over.
The music.
The thing, the
then
thing,
getting
yes,
jiggy
yeah.
with it started. The lights went off. Cleared the furniture. Everyone was having
fantastic.
A
hindsight being 2020, though, that you
that's
have
what you
the
want.
Best
Everyone's
memory.
Everyone's so angry because their wedding will never be as memorable.
Right.
I mean,
it's true.
It's fucking. It was fucking crazy. And I'm.
It's so crazy. And like, someday you'll, if you have kids or whatever, you'll show them and be like, "This is what happened at our wedding. How crazy is that?"
Yeah.
People like. I didn't go, and I was upset. Like, I couldn't go, and I was upset that I missed that.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like, yes. I've had to miss a handful of friends' weddings over the years, and I'm like, I'm the one I'm the most remiss is the fucking tornado wedding.
Would
have been so, I'm like, this seems like the fucking... That's and then to rebuild it afterwards, like sort of like Hunger Games style, like we're the survivors.
Yeah,
and then
and,
the wraparound porch, people were just hanging out there afterwards, and then it was just raining. The wind passed,
and then people were much quicker, myself included, just to start smoking weed whenever you felt like it.
Yeah,
it's like,
just
who
smoking
cares,
a joint
man?
Inside. We had pizza delivery. They got there.
Yeah, the pizza delivery made it somehow.
The, like, post-wedding, you know, snack or whatever.
Right, yeah.
We had pizza delivery.
And the guy came.
Nuts.
That's awesome.
The next day, because where we were, again, like, in the country, people were getting Ubers, and it was flooded. There was just, like, a rushing flood.
One of the access roads was completely
flooded. The Uber had to pick them up on one side of the flood, and there was a footbridge that you walked over to get to the Uber.
There's like a footbridge up all the time because it floods.
Because
so
it floods there.
Ah, so the Uber's like, we're over
talking.
Here.
We're here, and then we had to walk down the road, walk over a bridge, and then like be like, all right, see you guys.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And yeah, that's cool.
Did you guys have like the brunch the next day or anything?
We
like
had
it?
People.
We
come...
didn't have anything planned, did we?
People came over.
There's just like an unofficial, like, come by and see
people. Not a lot of people came over. Because of that.
But we went and got like Dan's hamburgers and then went to the flooded Greenbelt, which is like this place where you can hike and go swimming in like a creek. We went there, but it was like crazy.
It was insane.
But we went swimming and
like
we had
insane,
an Austin
like, flooded insane or insane,
so
like, filled
flooded.
With people.
We had like an Austin day.
Flooded. It was just like, cuz I've been to this place, I've seen it dry. I've seen no water there.
And he's
then
seen
I've
it
seen
run,
like where there's like a little bit of like small waterfalls. You're like, "Oh, this is great." This time you couldn't it was just brown water with like trees going down it. Yeah. You know, and like we went in the water a little bit and had to hold on to a tree.
Because
you're like, I'll just rush down this thing if I let go.
Fucking wild.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. And then the best part, well, not the best part, but a good part is we got the money back from the tent because the insurance money.
Because the tent
failed. It was destroyed.
Right.
Yeah, the tent failed. Yeah. So that was kind of nice.
They were like, we did not literally see this happening, but
Okay. It was like act of God insurance or whatever.
Yeah.
So boom.
Yeah, dog.
So yes, there's still a part of me that's like, it would have been nice to see what a wedding without that would have been like. But I've been to those. Exactly. Yeah. Right. This is the only one that I've been to. We had another friend. Do you know Becca Kinski?
No.
At all? She's a producer. She worked at like Abominable. And she had her wedding in
29 Palms.
Yes. So, I mean, we're in the desert.
Middle of Joshua Tree.
Nothing. All of a sudden, as the wedding is starting, there's just one black cloud. You could see the blue sky around because you could see like hundreds of miles.
Never.
And it's like, not only is it raining, but it was like hailing a little bit.
It was pouring to the point where no one could be outside.
Yeah.
In Joshua Tree. In the
Joshua
middle of the desert.
Tree.
That's so awesome.
So she had to have some like spur of the moment wedding like that too, which everyone was drunk for. And
it was like, this is great because it's like, who gives a shit? Like, it's kind of more interesting and fun and crazy.
Well, that's like the wedding you would want to have anyway.
Yeah.
Like, if you were like, you know what I mean? Like, of course, you want that pomp and circumstance wedding.
Yeah.
You want like it all to be like, this is our day, this is our day. But deep down inside, I just want to eat pizza, smoke weed, and talk to my closest friends.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Not my mom's former coworker,
yes.
who my mom feels obligated to invite because she was invited to her daughter's wedding. You know, like,
right.
I don't give a fuck about all that.
Yeah.
Like, we had buses go home from our wedding. Did you guys take
the bus? We were on a bus.
Oh, my God.
In the insane traffic.
Yeah,
oh,
and we were stuck in traffic that we all, like, fell asleep
we
on
fell
the bus.
Yeah, it was like, so there was two buses. You were on the one. We loaded up the buses with, like, things from the wedding. I think flowers went on your bus, and on our bus was all the
alcohol.
Leftover liquor.
Yeah.
And then it was a 90-minute
so
ride, 90 minutes in traffic to go, like, 4 miles.
Yeah, we were like, why don't we have drinks?
We had drinks. But we had what was left at the end of a wedding full of party animals.
Right.
And we bought it all ourselves.
Right.
So it's like, it was all ours to take home, but all we had left was like a handle of Dewars, a handle of Tanqueray, 5 bottles of white wine.
Yikes.
And I had like distinct memories of like a buddy of mine, a high school friend, Tiffany's going, is John drinking? And my buddy John is just slamming Sauvignon Blanc out of the bottle, like
That's
on the
hilarious.
Bus. We passing around Dewars in a handle and like just taking rips off the top.
That sounds
the
fun.
Difference between those two buses, because our bus was just tired.
Exactly.
Sleepy
people
and
were
sad.
Passing out on our bus too, but there was like about 10 people, who, like a couple of real drunk older cousins and then like a couple of our people our age. But people started to have to take pisses.
Ooh.
And the bus wasn't stopping. So we were literally, we had the bus driver pull, we took school buses to and from our wedding.
Yeah.
We had the bus driver pull all the way over to the right lane. So there was no, and then open up the side door since we were going so slow and going like 1 mile an hour. And we took turns just peeing out the door.
That is amazing that you
that
convinced
really
him
fun.
To do that.
We were like, just pull over to the right, pull over all the way to the right. No one, because we started when he were in the left. He's like, just
that
open the door and I'll piss out it.
Hilarious.
And then like you pull your dick out and there's a car
that
and it pulls up alongside.
That is definitely only in New York. Like, there's no cops that are going to fuck with that.
Right.
New York is the only place where you have to figure out
Texas,
how to piss like that.
Like, if you did that in, like, Austin, like, you'd be fucked. Like, you would definitely get in trouble.
Yeah, New York, they're so like, look, piss is, like, the lowest.
Piss
it's like,
is like
cops,
water.
Cops are pissing, like, in the subway. They're like, whatever, man, shut up.
Did you ever
piss
see that?
Piss everywhere. There's
real
no
quick
fucking
aside.
Bathrooms.
Did you ever see that viral video of the dude who, like, puts, like, Gatorade into a Poland Spring bottle?
No.
And then, like, goes over by where police are standing and faces away from them and kind of like squirts it on the ground slowly like he's peeing. And when they go to grab him, they're like, hey. He's like, oh, sorry, man. I was just spilling some of my drink. They were like, what the fuck? He does like, it's like a video of him doing it like 20 times. It's like, it's such a specific funny prank. Like,
yes, yeah.
It is. Oh, sorry. I was spilling a little bit of
right, exactly. Oh, sorry. I was just squirting shit on the ground.
Why are you
what?
Taking it one liquid from one bottle and putting it into another?
Great way to get fucking nightsticked in the head.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see how I can get someone to knock me in the head.
Was the kid white?
Yeah, he was fine.
So he's not dead then.
Right.
It's fine. Everyone was cool with it.
He lived.
It was cute, if anything.
Very cute.
Yeah, he's a Vine star now.
Yeah.
He has a
he's writing on the show.
Six-figure development deal.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So what are we're getting close to the end here. I don't want to keep you guys that much longer, but just to bring it back to marriage. Yeah, I'm so tired of talking for an hour. Just to bring it back to marriage. Is there anything that, like, if you, friends of yours were getting married, you would be like, guys, here's something to keep in mind.
For weddings, marriage.
For marriage or for weddings, yeah. Because you developed it. By the way, that's something we haven't we could do a whole episode of like what it's like as a couple to plan a wedding.
You should, because every time someone plans a wedding, they're like, I had no idea what I was in for. Which I guess you'll always be that way anyway, because there's no way to prepare for
it. Try.
I described it as like, imagine getting assigned a year-long project,
yes,
unpaid,
yep,
where the person you're forced to work on the project with, you have a pretty, you know, you have a pretty good relationship with,
right,
and you cannot blow it.
Yeah. Like,
yes, yeah.
I'm not a good planner. I don't care that much about that stuff.
But you start all of a sudden have to make decisions about things you never thought about.
$5,000 to $8,000 decisions.
Yes, you know? And you're like, I don't know. Is this better than the other thing? I have no idea.
When we had to like make the decision whether to get tents or not, I was like, I can't believe that if we don't need them, we don't have to spend $6,000.
Yeah, that was
us with heaters. We knew we wanted a tent because it would just be, Tiffany wanted like lights across the top. She wanted to be cuter.
Right.
But we didn't know because we were getting married in mid-October in New York, we didn't know if we needed heaters. And it
right.
was like $1,800 to put heaters in there, something ridiculous like that, and we might not need to turn them on.
Yeah,
and I am so anti-heat. I'm like, because I'm so fat, and I just want to be. I'm
yeah, a three-piece suit.
Yeah,
too,
I'm in a three-piece suit. I'm like, let's fucking keep it cool out there. But Tiff's like, women wear dresses. Like,
right.
You can't. And I'm like, for $2,000, a woman could throw a fucking cardigan on. Like, that was
what did
like,
you guys end up doing? Do you remember?
We ended up getting the heaters and never turning them on.
Oh.
The worst, of course. But better than it being freezing.
Yeah, you did the right thing. So that's a good advice, though, is that it's like you're better off doing it. You're not going to like really regret it.
Yeah, don't. You know? It's a hard time to nickel and dime.
The day of your wedding, you're not going to give a shit. Like, things might start going wrong, but then you're like, all right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm doing it. It's happening. It doesn't matter.
My two, we'll get into more marriage advice at this, but my two big wedding pieces of advice are, well, this is just an anecdote, but like, the wedding was one of the best days of my life.
Yeah.
The day after the wedding, once we were married and didn't have to talk or discuss the wedding anymore, was one of
what a
close
relief.
Second.
Yeah,
being
yeah.
Like the morning we woke up after our wedding and we didn't have this thing hanging over us of
it's
like
over.
Yeah, and it's like that was, and then we could just only talk about how fun it was and open up gifts and stuff. It was what a relief to be at this point.
That was fun.
And then a friend of mine, Michael Davies, said to Tiffany, because Tiff is a crazy planner and like that's what sort of what she does for a living. So to have to do it also for a wedding, he said to her, at some point, whether it's the day before your wedding, the morning of your wedding, when you arrive for the ceremony, you stop planning and start participating.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that was huge because Tiff, when we came out of the ceremony, literally came in and she walks into the this beautiful ornate like circus lighting strung everywhere. She's like, these napkins are all wrong.
I had the same thought.
Yeah.
I walked into the tent. I was like,
there was a lot
of
stuff wrong.
This is not right.
That's all right.
Like this big thing we got were like vintage burlap runners that like ran across the table. I didn't know. That's a phrase I never thought I'd say.
Oh,
in my life.
We used burlap at our wedding as well.
Shabby chic.
Yeah.
Modern
exactly.
rustic.
Yeah.
So Tiff was like, they forgot the runners. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. We left them in the. And Tiff was like, send somebody to go get them.
Yeah, just
like,
make it
I'm
happen.
Fucking paying so much money.
Right.
I bought these. I chose
you
this.
You must.
Yeah, and they were so during the ceremony, the guys ran back and got the shit and like
good.
Judged it all up. I'm like, all right, Tiff, now just start dancing, drinking, eating, and taking photos in the photo booth.
Yes.
All right.
Ooh, that was good food. You guys had barbecue.
Yeah, we did
barbecue
and fried
good.
Chicken.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. Ooh, baby.
Okay, so I had read some sort of, it was a New York Times thing, like, here's a list of things you should talk about before you decide whether you want to get married or not. So I would recommend people look at that. It was questions like, what are you going to do with your kids for holidays? Like,
right.
You know?
We didn't do that, though, did we?
No, we didn't.
Oh, God.
Saying that, like, we should talk. Like,
while you're married.
Yeah.
It is. It is so true.
Before or while, you know. Because
yeah, it's like one of those things,
like
too.
We're
going
to run into a roadblock
right.
with that.
Right.
He's not going to be like, all of a sudden, like, we're not doing Christmas.
Right. Well, if it were to be something that was a roadblock, it would have come up earlier.
Exactly.
Because like, if you feel that strongly about it, you would have said something already.
There but, was like, a question. There was a thing on there that was like, figure out how your partner feels about porn. which is a big one that people just don't talk about, which is hilarious.
Yeah, it's really weird. I want to do an episode of High Mighty about porn.
Yeah, Dan and I have talked about porn plenty. We're fine. We're fine.
We talk about
porn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get off porn.
Really?
I'm trying to go pure imagination again.
Yeah, I've been leaning towards that.
I've heard mixed reviews of
to the type of porn. Of why like, I won't watch good. Certain types anymore. Like,
Kelly
I just
was into, like, crazy, weird.
Yeah.
You were, like, kind of. Like chilling out a little bit.
I'm
like,
chilling
Kelly
out.
Kelly used to only watch Simpsons animated porn, so she's trying to chill out. Real people
just
again.
Just the ads, though. Just the ads.
And it makes it so hard.
Yeah.
Porn isn't a fucking, what a Pandora's box
of,
you know, like,
you can really go
you could
somewhere.
Really do, it's so amazing, but you could really fuck yourself up off of it.
Yeah, and I've read mixed things of, like, if you do, you know, like, there's something good about it because your brain, like, you are, like, weirdly connecting, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of it that it's, like, you're pretending and your brain is being set off by these things that... They're not happening in real life, though.
Yeah, I think connecting you know? Your partner with it more is important.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely like, the way to go.
Not hiding it.
Right.
Hiding it is, yeah, oh, that God, seems like no. That's a problem.
Like, it's got, you got to just sort of be like, because the marriage thing is like, if you don't have a day job and your wife does, she comes home from work and she's like, well, let's fuck. And you're like, I just jerked off like a half
yeah.
hour ago. I'm
so
sorry.
Yeah.
So
sorry.
Like,
yeah.
But I cannot think about
it's
sex.
It's almost right? like taking a shit now. I'll be like, I think I'm going to go masturbate. It's like, it's like, or like, I'm going to go take a shit. So.
Yeah. We always tell each other when we're going to masturbate or take a shit.
Like, I'm going to go masturbate. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to just watch another episode of Stranger Things.
All right. Bye.
No, we did that together. Okay. Stranger
did.
Things is the thing you do as a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say communication, guys. That's the main one.
That is true. Honesty, yeah, all the stuff we were talking about before as a joke of, like, being whipped. But that stuff seems very helpful, is just trying to stay on the same page.
Yeah.
Is that's big something, time. Right? Just so you know. Because it's when you start to hide things and when you start to separate, that's when the problems happen.
Right.
Well, because the problems then become like, oh, it's easier for me to hide.
Right.
It's easier for the dude. Let's just
just avoid conflict.
I'm surprised by how often I hear that in couples is someone who's like, please don't tell this person this thing because it's just going to be a problem or
and
something.
It's like, oh
and
my
you're
God.
Like, that seems like
horrifying.
A difficult way. That seems like a bad foundation.
Right. And not only about the fear of getting caught.
Right.
It's also about like if you start to develop like a separate life in a way.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I never even really talked to my wife about this kind of thing, this anger, this part of my life,
right?
And then it sort of becomes secret. Then that sort of becomes
kind
of
can only get worse.
It can only get worse because you go, I'm more comfortable here.
Yes,
I feel like you see that in like,
and it's hard. It's hard to open up that kind of stuff that you would just like. I would rather not talk about it, but I have to because for the long run, it's so much better.
Right, and it's like, and it's not even about fighting, but it's just like this is going to be such a thing.
Yeah,
it's better to just. Rip the Band-Aid off and make it a thing earlier.
We're all being
on,
very
right?
vague, but we all have our little examples in our heads.
Right. Well, I'll see if I can.
It can get poisonal.
Yeah, if I could pull a specific example from my life that isn't necessarily like airing too much dirty laundry here.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things like, oh, who was at that party? It's like, no one. You know, let's not even get into that. And then it's like, you're not even hiding anything specific. You just don't feel like dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, next time you do something like that, you're hiding it again.
Right.
And now it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, what am I hiding?
Yeah.
Money is something too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's another, like, that's such an
figure out what you're going to do with your money.
But I would say, like, being able to communicate about it.
I would say, that's got to be on the, obviously that's probably on that New York Times list of questions.
Yes,
but,
it is.
Money is a big source of drama in our house.
Oh, really?
Not that we're like broke, but we both do well.
Right.
Uh-huh. But we have totally different ideas of what's like reasonable.
Oh, really?
The for reasonable spending. Cost of everything.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Because typically
we have come together on that because we were pretty separate on that at the beginning, but then we've sort of come together.
We have things that I think we've helped the other one with. Kelly has helped me buy things that I need. Which is something I wouldn't do.
Like a good quality thing that costs a little more.
Right. Oh,
you should get.
I would not do.
I've learned
I was
to like
so
Tiffany's
cheap.
Like I learned that too in my marriage, but not by someone telling me that.
Yeah.
By seeing like literally this is the most here, I'll air some dirty laundry, some childish shit. Tiff spends a lot of money. Everything she does requires good money. Like, you know, she gets her hair done. She does this. She does that. She likes the nicer things. She dresses well. She goes out to I'm like, I spend my money on, like, just weed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have, like, almost nothing. And that's, like, a couple hundred dollars a month, if that much. That's even an insane amount. And eventually I was just like, we're unable to save because we spend we also do a lot of things together that cost a lot of money, like go out to dinner or travel a lot.
Right.
We overextend ourselves. We're like living as we made more money. We just keep raising our level of life.
More money, more problems.
But then it became a thing where I was like, I really want this thing. No, it'll be better to just save like $200. Then I would just see $200 get spent.
Right.
And I started going like,
wait a second.
I might as well, like, it reminded me of being a kid and saying, I don't want any Cheez-Its right now, and then seeing my two brothers finish
eat
the Cheez-Its.
The Cheez-Its. Yes.
So then the next time the Cheez-Its come, I'm like, I'm just going to have some.
Yeah.
So I make sure I get some of these Cheez-Its.
Exactly.
And I sort of happened where... And
imagine if you could talk to your brothers and be like, hey, let's all save Cheez-Its for when we want.
Right. And then it's like, I've now gotten more mature, and Tiffany and I are able to do that. Still a big source of drama.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, I'm going to just buy those shoes.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
get them because I want them.
Yeah.
And if I just sit around here and go, like, I could save $20, save $30, save $40, and then Tiffany spends $200 on something that – and this is the biggest gap for me is she spends $200 on something I don't see as important.
Right, right, right.
And then that's where you get an issue because it's not a subjective
– Well, that's when you get into a physical fight and whoever wins wins the argument, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how marriage is – you know, that's like a stable
relationship. Yeah, you find everything out physically.
Yeah, are you guys arguers? And it's a personal
Definitely
question.
Definitely not.
No. Definitely not, right?
Can't take it.
Do you –
We've had like a couple big arguments, but like if that happens, like
we tend not to.
Yeah, no.
We're not good. We are good at fighting because we don't hold me and Tiff. We don't hold grudges.
Right,
like,
can't
but
do that.
We don't hold grudges.
No,
right.
Not at
you
all.
Can't do that. Like we.
Yeah,
can't,
that's
like,
another marriage thing.
Yeah, big no.
Cannot hold a grudge.
You have to get over shit. Like you have to. Because like the other day, Tiffany and I got in a big enough fight, and she bothered me enough that we didn't talk for like a couple hours. But we're both home. So I'm like,
yikes.
I'm just like playing Diablo in my room and she's watching TV and I'm like walking out to fill up water and go to the bathroom and like we're ignoring each other. And it's like, we have to like eventually, there's only one bed in this house.
Yeah,
we have to eventually go
gotta
to sleep.
Figure this out.
We eventually have to sort out, are we going to eat dinner together? Like,
right.
You have to just get over it for the sake of life.
Yes.
But I don't, I'm afraid to argue with Tiff because she's like sort of indestructible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's sort of like.
Neither of Dan and I are, we're not. Neither of us are indestructible when it comes to arguments. We definitely can both stand our ground, but neither of us really like to debate or argue things.
Yeah, see, we like to debate or argue things, but at some point I have to go, because Tiffany is literally like, stubborn's not the right word because it has a negative connotation. You want to talk about stand your ground, this is a woman who will just be like, no. No, no. I already formed my
opinion. I already thought all about this.
Yeah, yeah. And
I know
I'm,
that this is
And
right.
I eventually just have to go like,
all right.
Fight's over.
Yeah,
like,
forget it. It saves both
like,
of you some worries.
Like, literally, some of our fights end with like, well,
over.
That is the new truth.
Like, that's
our reality. I guess, like, you're
and
right.
She's like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I commend you. Well done. You got it done.
The other big thing we do, or the other big thing I do is, no. It feels like you are upset with me. Tell me. Because you like, that's the other thing is like, it's just easier to.
Yeah.
It's when I start bothering Tiff, like sometimes my behavior, like I am obnoxious or I am very, like you said, I'm mean and I'm cutting. And if I do it to her, like I do it to everyone, but if I do it to her too much, that's rude. That's awful. But she won't tell me because she doesn't want to be like, I don't want to bother you.
Right.
And she takes it for too long. And then it is too much of an issue.
Right.
And I do the same thing. When Tiffany's doing something that bothers me, I'll go like, I got to let it slide. We got to let it slide. And then I let it slide for too much. And then I'm like.
You're like, you
I'm
bitch.
Driving home. I'm driving home. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. This thing she did yesterday is annoying me. And then you roll into a situation not fresh. And then
that,
it's like.
That's a good just general relationship thing. Is that kind of goes with communication.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that is like expectations. Like is something I think I see a lot of people screw up. Is
oh, hell
what
yeah.
they expect from the other person that they have not made clear to them.
Dude.
Asking for what you need, that's a big
But that's
thing.
Just general relation. I can't that,
In general,
so many fights
yeah.
that I hear from couples and I'm like, did that person know that? Would it be possible to just talk to them about that and not have this huge fight about it?
Totally.
That's a big one. I might be the biggest one
the
relationships.
Yeah, and like part of that, I think what you're saying too, is the other thing is assuming the other person's feelings.
Yeah.
Like
I assumed that you didn't want to do this. Right. So I didn't ask you.
Most of the time people don't know.
Yeah.
Or like when you say something to me, Kelly, and I'm like, oh, that you're saying only saying that because blank. And you're like, no. You're not allowed to tell me why I'm doing things.
Yeah.
Because I know why I'm doing it and you're not right in this instance.
Totally.
And that's something me and Tiff end up doing. I'm like, that was a snotty tone. And she's like, no, it wasn't. And I'm like, we're arguing about whether it was snotty.
Did you intend
to be snotty? No. Then why am I diving in on that?
Yeah. That's what everyone needs to just like chill out, take a walk.
Dan and I get to a point where it's like, I didn't intend it. And it's like, well, okay, then like, what can we do? You know?
Who's
at fault here?
exactly. No, and it's like, what's the end game here?
Yeah.
Who
cares about being right if we're just like pissed?
Right. And that's the thing, because then it's like about winning and not about like... Mm-hmm. Ending an argument. Winning an argument is never as important as ending an argument. And like, obviously, don't change your fundamental belief system for your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just realize like, oh, I'm just fighting this argument because I hate losing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, oh, but if you lose, you win. Like in comedy.
Yay.
If you lose, you win.
Yeah.
You get to keep going.
If you look at what the end goal is to enjoy spending time with your partner.
Right.
And if you are trying to win an argument, that changes. You're going for a different
end
goal.
Your entire life is there is no goal for happiness.
Yeah, it's hard not to want to win an argument. Hard not to want to lose.
That's your instinct.
But like, you want an argument to end, and if it's not going to end with you being correct, then just ending is a close second to being best. Like,
that's good. Like career stuff too. It's like I feel like the best people I've seen who are running shows and just like making things is like the ability to compromise to keep something good but keep it going, as opposed to stopping something for something in the end that isn't worth it.
Right.
Like I'm trying to get this thing made. You could hold on to this thing that you think is brilliant.
Right. Like, or we need to keep that sister character.
Right. Right. And it's like, let's talk about this. How can we keep that idea or whatever? What's the best part of it? You just have to be willing
to
accept it sometimes.
Stand back and like paint.
You got to think about what the overall arching goal is. If you want to maintain a healthy marriage, the overarching goal is like maintaining a healthy marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not about like, no, I need to make sure that you never put the wooden spoon in the metal spoon. You know, like, what are we fighting?
It's very important, by the way.
Another thing we do is another piece of advice I give is like, well, never do an impression or never quote your partner
in a fight, in an
impression of them.
Oh, never a good idea.
Never a good idea to be like, well, you're the one who said, like, let's go to this blah. And it's like, I don't sound like that. And you're like, I'm also bad at impressions. So I'll say, it sounded like you were pissed. She's like, I was not pissed. I'm like, well, you said it like, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't sound like that. I'm like, well, I'm not a good impressionist. And then we do the same thing to each other where it's like, you're the one who said, and it's like, I did not sound like that.
Well, it sounds like you guys just need to have an impression off with judges.
Yeah.
Well, because you're looking at, like, I'm saying something that is, and if you don't pick up exactly what I mean by it, you can misconstrue it. Then we're both going to argue about what I really meant. And now we're having a meta argument. We're arguing about the argument.
About the argument.
Also, it's never accurate when someone's like, you know, I was being like this. And then they were being like, meh, meh, meh.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, yeah,
I don't know
you're gonna be
any conversation has ever gone that way.
You're going to paint yourself as the hero in
that
situation.
I came at this. I was really nice. I was great.
So
and they were just like,
meh,
meh, meh, meh, meh. You're like, well, they sound horrible.
Yeah. They're a puppet. you're real.
Let's... We can end it on you're a puppet.
You're a puppet.
Don't be a puppet. So
don't
there's nothing
puppet.
Wrong with being whipped. There is keep open lines of communication. If you're gonna go beat off, tell them.
Yeah.
Tell everybody.
Tell everybody. Just tweet it.
Yeah. Text your mom.
Do the shit you have to do.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Also, the other thing I say too is like, marriage might not be for everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's true too.
So don't feel bad.
It's not for the sake of the marriage. It's for the sake of the relationship we have that we have decided is really great.
Yeah. Now our thing is like
not for marriage in general.
But we realize that our relationship is bigger than one of the other person's needs. If that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. That's
that's sort of an awesome way to look at it. I think that's changed with marriage.
Yeah.
That we're like, well, we're both trying to make this relationship stable and healthy. So
and it can't be one sided.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Right. Oh, that's all. Yeah. It's the healthiness of the relationship is bigger than either person's needs. Yeah. Like just keeping that, because, and you've decided that you don't have to blanket make that up. And you're like, maybe your needs are more important than the relationship. And that's a sign that that's maybe not a positive.
Right. Relationship. Right.
Get out of it. But you've decided that this is it. We got it. This is what we got
to
do.
We do what we have to do to keep that thing healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Feed the beast.
Feed the big nasty.
It's a horrible monster.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Yeah. We have like a basement door that we open and we throw fish heads down.
Babadook is,
our relationship gobbles them up.
The Babadook.
Yeah.
That's what we call our marriage. The Babadook.
Mama da Baba Duke.
Yeah.
Duke, Duke, Duke.
Ooh.
So spooky. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking about marriage. Specifically, I was so happy to get more info on the tornado wedding.
Oh, the tornado wedding.
From the fucking horse's mouth.
Yes. Horses. It happened. It's real. It is cool sometimes when we'll bring it up and someone's like, oh, I've heard about that wedding.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
We're famous.
It's only a matter of time until it's like a Julia Roberts movie.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
Like based on
we want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Julia Roberts.
If you're listening, she wrote one of those reviews early on.
What are you, 50?
I think it's going to be Jerry Seinfeld and Tilda Swinton.
Yes!
Based solely on your haircuts.
On
right?
Our yeah. Yeah. At the moment, yeah.
Haircuts and attitudes.
Yeah.
First of all, people should listen to your podcast, Make Me Like It,
yes.
Also on the HeadGum Network.
Yes. Yeah. What else do we have going on?
Where can people find you on Twitter? Because usually listeners tweet at us with like their own marriage stories.
We don't have a show Twitter, but our individual Twitters are Citizen Hudson and Dan Klein is Fat.
Yes.
Yeah. At Dan Klein is Fat and at Citizen Hudson.
Yeah. And we, we have a couple things to plug. Do you want to plug
it up?
Plug
it.
Oh, well, I have a short film that I just finished. It's going to be on Jash. It'll be released in September. I don't remember the exact date.
Oh, awesome.
But
this might
out.
Be coming out later on in August.
Yeah, so
perfect,
so watch out for Tond, T-O-N-D. It's a short film I made that I star in and wrote.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm working for a new sitcom called Great News, which I don't think will be out until the end of the year next year.
But it's going to be.
But it'll be funny.
It's going to be
pumped.
Hot. Baby.
Get pumped, yeah. It'll be a funny show.
It's going to be good.
And check out... if you want to search Dan Klein Funky Town, probably one of the more fun videos.
Oh,
there you go.
It went viral.
2009 classic.
Yeah.
2009, shot on an iPhone, in an audition classic.
Yeah.
And buy our book, FUDS,
Complete
Encyclopedia.
Fuds,
yes.
FUDS, FUDS.
Definitely buy that, but that sits amongst our recipe books
Aww.
In our kitchen.
Lovely.
And it's such a funny thing if anyone's ever looking through it, like, what's FUDS?
What
I'm like,
hell?
Oh, it's a cookbook. Take
yeah,
a look.
It's got some good stuff. Check it out.
It's really
That's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Check
Please
it out. Buy it.
Buy that. Please,
Please buy
it.
Please buy it. We could use that.
Help. As always, I'm at John Gabris, no H in John, or Gabris. Rate me 5 comments and rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, and I'll read it on air. Buy a High and Mighty t-shirt and tell your friends about this fucking podcast, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
if you
idiots.
Like it and you have a friend that you also like and think they might like it, get them on it.
Do the
communicate,
nice thing.
Communicate. Guys, relationships
Tell
here.
Them about apps, how apps work. Get
listen
the podcast
to this show
app.
With your wife.
Yes.
Yes.
Sit and listen to a podcast
both
in silence
it.
With your partner.
Yes. That's cute.
Yeah, but on 2 different accounts. Please.
Yes.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye, shitheads.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.